Good morning, everybody, and welcome. This is Building Community Through Christ-Centered Connect Groups with Karen Petfield.
Amen. Good morning. It's so good to see you this morning. I see some familiar faces and new faces. Praise the Lord. As Joanne mentioned, my name is Karen Petfield, and I am the discipleship pastor with Reach Church in White Plains, and we are part of the Assemblies of God Fellowship. And as you just heard, we're going to discuss building community through Christ-centered connect groups. While I was preparing for this workshop, I found myself reflecting on when I was first introduced to small groups. And I spent the first decade of my life growing up in Anchorage, Alaska, where my family attended a large church of about 2,000 congregants. And even way back in the 70s, where I come from, that church understood something powerful: the value of small groups. I remember gathering in homes and watching my parents dig into the Word and doing life with other families. And as a big church in Alaska, we grew larger as we gathered corporately, but we also grew smaller as we gathered in small groups, and that really shaped my faith. So today I'd like to explore, let me remember to do these slides. If I forget, please tell me. Today I'd like to explore how small groups foster authentic relationships, spiritual growth, and biblical discipleship. And I want to do more than inspire you. I want to equip you with some practical strategies that you can take back and actually implement, okay? So there's a phrase that you may have heard, and it goes like this. If you want to grow a crowd, build a service. But if you want to grow disciples, build community. And here's what that means. Think about what a Sunday or a midweek service does best. It gathers people, it communicates truth clearly, and it encourages and challenges. And, you know, while that's very powerful and necessary, it is powerful and necessary, but it's also largely one-directional. It's one person speaking and many people listening. And in that, there's limited opportunity for meaningful interaction. Services are excellent for reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen? But by themselves, they don't always lead to deep, personal transformation. Would you agree with me? And that's because people can attend and they can even be inspired, but they can still stay anonymous, right? Yes. Discipleship requires more. It requires interaction, all right? People grow when they can ask and process questions. Oops, next slide, I think. Am I there? Hold on. There we go. I'm still here. All right. People grow when they can ask and process questions, when they can share struggles, when they can be known and there can be follow-up with them, right? And be prayed for specifically. And that happens in relational environments. That's where faith moves from something we hear to something we live, right? That's discipleship. Now, in services, people can attend and leave, but in small groups, people are known and they're seen, and that's where they grow. See, services gather, but groups transform. Yeah, services introduce people to Jesus, but groups help people become like Jesus, and that's what it is to be a disciple. Amen? So what I'm describing here is, it's not just practical, it's actually biblical. When we look at the New Testament, we see a very clear pattern. In Acts, believers gathered in large settings, right? But they also gathered house to house.
Yes.
So what we see is, at its healthiest, a church should always be growing larger and smaller at the same time.
Amen.
It should be growing larger through evangelism, as more and more people come to Christ, but it should be growing smaller through community, right? As people are plugged into small groups where relationships can develop. Because discipleship doesn't happen at a distance, right?
Yeah.
Now, Jesus modeled this for us. Look what he did. He taught the crowds, but he discipled in close relationships, didn't he? And that's the key. See, discipleship is not just informational. It is relational, right? Small groups, those create opportunities, as I said before, for people to be known and to be challenged and to be cared for and to be strengthened. Iron sharpens iron, right? That happens in small groups, right? And that's where growth and transformation happen. Research from the Barna Group, it shows us that nearly 64% of churchgoers say they are being discipled. But get this. Only 28% are actively engaged in meaningful discipleship community. Over half say their faith is entirely private. You know what? That's not biblical. So what we are learning here is that people are around church, but they're not always connected in a way that leads to transformation. So then, if small groups are so important, then we should be asking the question, what actually builds a healthy small group network? And I'm going to give you three practical ways, and I'll show you how they play out at our church, at Reach Church. First, start with a clear discipleship pathway. Small groups are not an add-on. They are the primary pathway for discipleship. So the message can't be, join a group today. It needs to be, this is how we grow. And that's because if groups feel optional, guess what? They're going to be treated as optional, right? So at Reach, our small groups, they're called Reach Groups, and they run during fall, winter, and spring semesters. And each semester lasts about 6 to 8 weeks, okay? And perhaps it's like that at your church as well. This kind of format gives participants and leaders a clear start, a clear end, and a manageable commitment. And it also provides opportunities to promote new groups throughout the year, and it creates clear on-ramps for people to get connected. Now, at Reach, some of our groups, they actually don't even take a break. Until maybe August, they might take a break. And others might meet in between the breaks and do like a four-week study or a four-week makeup. So there's room for flexibility, and that's really key, all right? Now, one effective tool that we use is called a Reach Group Fair, okay? And it's an entry point strategy that lets people see all of the available groups, to meet the leaders, to find their community, and to register immediately. And it's fun. It's a fun community building event that helps people take the next important step in their discipleship. Now, we are hosting our next Reach Group Fair next Sunday, May 3rd. And our theme is Find Your People, Grow in Christ. Nice. We offer a variety of groups so people can connect in different ways. But we don't offer this just for variety. We offer it for accessibility. We want every person to be able to see themselves in a group. Some examples include spiritual growth groups. How am I doing on time? All right, good. Like verse-by-verse Bible studies, Bible character studies, thematic Bible studies. We even reintroduced adult Sunday school. Sunday school was from way back in my day. Well, we brought it back. Everything that's old is new again, right? We also, and that really helps people who find it difficult to have availability during the week, but they're like, you know what? I can give a little extra time on a Sunday morning. I'll go to Sunday school. We also have life and discipleship groups, like marriage groups and parenting groups and men's groups and women's groups, right? We have prayer groups and encountering God studies. We have online prayer. We have learning how to pray and fast and then praying and fasting together. And we've also had book clubs. Irene's in here. You did a book club a while back, and that was great. We have groups for staying active and fit. We're introducing this time. I think Anne is it. Anne, see Anne back there? We're introducing beginner line dancing this spring. That's going to be so much fun. And there you go. And we have a marathon running group that runs every year. They're called Run for God, and they teach people how to run or walk in marathons, and then they do that together, right? And in the past, we've had a hiking group, and while they would hike, they would evangelize because they'd see different people, and they'd stop and evangelize. And we've even had a bowling group. Bowling group was a hit. We had some people who never joined a group, but once bowling was on there, they were there. So that, you know. And then we have community and care groups, such as the Next Chapter for our retirees, and Kingdom Business Owners for our entrepreneurs. Yeah, we have some Next Chapter people in here, right? We have a Spanish-speaking group, and in the past, we've even had Portuguese-speaking groups. And muy bien. And this spring, we're excited to offer an HR group for individuals who are unemployed or underemployed. Is Jeannie Stewart in here? I'm not sure. Jeannie's not in here? So this group is led by a professional in our church. Her name is Jeannie Stewart, and she's here today as a summit sponsor. This is her right here. She is amazing. She teaches you how to rework your resume, your interview skills. She's top notch. So, you know, so just some of these are practical groups. Right. So where are your people at? What do they need, right? We also offer Berean School of the Bible classes through Global University. We're a study center for that. Wow. So this is for individuals who are interested in earning their credentials with the Assembly of God, or they just want to make a deeper investment in their discipleship. And we also offer a small group every other month titled The Three Baptisms. And my lead pastor, Jason Murphy, and I, we lead this group. And in this group, we cover the gospel message, we talk about repentance, we talk about and minister deliverance in this group, we talk about water baptism, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we introduce him to the Holy Spirit. Who is he? What are his gifts? What is the charisma of the Holy Spirit? What is the baptism with the Holy Spirit? And how do we receive? And we offer that every other month. We always have an on-ramp. And then we take the opportunity when we have those participants to then tell them about our reach groups and keep moving them along to next steps. It's very powerful. The second way to build a healthy small group network is to build around relationships, not just content, okay? Now, content matters, all right? But people don't stay for content alone. They stay because they feel known, they feel valued, and they feel connected. And then that creates authentic community, right? We build around relationships because people often join for a common interest, like bowling, right? But they stay because of a spiritual connection. And that's a powerful bridge in discipleship. Is any of this helping you out today? Yes. Praise God. This past fall, we made a significant shift because we realized something. We realized families were having a challenge. Research from the Barna Group shows that 1 in 5 churchgoers say that they are too busy for small groups. So have you heard that? Right? Busyness is one of the biggest barriers to community. I told you I'm originally from Alaska. In Alaska, we take our time. We talk to people in the supermarket. We're in no rush, okay? But it's not like that in the Northeast. We got some fast feet. We are always doing, accomplishing, right? Okay? And it's something that we have to be really intentional about changing that in our lives. So here's what we did. We realized families, they weren't resisting community. They were just overwhelmed with life. And so instead of asking them to adjust, well, we just adjusted our model. And we created Family Life Night on Wednesdays. And here's how it works. At 6 p.m., we offer a low-cost dinner in our cafe. Walking tacos, hot dogs, pizza, meatball subs, something very simple, right? And this removes one of the biggest barriers. What are we eating tonight, right? And then having to prepare it and having to clean up afterwards. And you know, if you have young kids, you just like, get in the car already. You know, you're trying to get going. Come, Our cafe becomes a big family dining room. Okay, we have kids and teenagers in there. We have our senior saints in there. And then at 7 p.m., everything launches, okay? For adults, we offered a marriage group in the fall and then a parenting group in the winter and now another marriage group for this spring. And we also have a catch-all co-ed group that meets for a verse-by-verse Bible study, and that group is a huge hit. How am I doing with time? Hold on. All right, I'm good. And then for our students and our kids, we have youth group on that night. We have Royal Rangers. We have Impact Girls. And we even offer child care for little ones under age 3, okay? And we ask all of our leaders, listen, some of these kids got to catch buses in the morning, okay? These families need to go to work the next day. So by 8:25, you're buttoning things up so that by 8:30, they can clean up. Yes. They can pick up their kids. Because if you keep going over, families will say, we're just not going to be able to go, okay? So we're really, they are terrific about that, all right? So in one night, barriers are removed, dinner is served, right? And the whole family is fed, discipled, and connected, and they're having community, right? That was a great win for us. So that was recently, just this fall. We had another powerful win, which we just started this past Wednesday. We were talking about it for a while, and we just started it. We invited our retirees. These are some people from the next chapter. We invited them to come and to run the cafe on Wednesday nights. And you know what? This created three wins. It meets a real need. We need someone to help us with dinner, right? Mm-hmm. It creates intergenerational connection, which is so important, right? And it activates an incredible group of seasoned saints who can come and encourage the body, right? So this was a huge win. And I got to tell you, I loved seeing them in the cafe, and they loved being there because they're not just attending church. They are contributing to the mission. Amen? Listen, let's not forget our senior saints. They have something very powerful to contribute to the body of Christ. Amen? And they deserve honor. After they served, they joined a reach group for the rest of the night, and that's discipleship in action. Amen? The third way to build a healthy small group network is to develop leaders, but the key word is continuously, all right? Mm-hmm. Healthy group systems are built on developed leaders, not perfect ones. If you're always looking for the perfect leader, you are missing out. We have the opportunity to develop them because let me tell you, the body of Christ is full of gifting, right? Mm-hmm. So we are always recruiting fresh faces to lead our reach groups. And when recruiting, we aren't looking for the Bible scholars to lead our small groups. We're looking for people who are faithful, available, and teachable, and willing to grow. And that's how we sustain growth long term. Amen? So in our recruitment approach, we do not say, we need you. We say, we want you. And that's because people give to vision, not to need. Okay? Listen, I've done a lot of team building in lots of different ministry areas. You want to build your team? Well, first of all, the vision, people invest where there is vision. So you cast vision. And then you don't beg people to become leaders. You inspire them, and then you train them. Right? That's how we grow. Amen? Now, while many of our reach group leaders return each semester, some will take an occasional break. And you know what? That's actually good. That's actually good. When a leader says, oh, I won't be leading the next semester, I am not panicked. I'm like, I said, that's terrific. Because we want our leaders to stay refreshed, and we want them to attend reach groups themselves and keep growing. So our spring semester that starts next week, and we have 6 new leaders who are leading groups this spring. And this is awesome. And those who are taking a break, they intend to lead again in the fall. Amen? New leaders, they bring fresh vitality to small group discipleship. Often, new leaders emerge after participating in reach groups and being mentored by seasoned leaders. Many of our best leaders started simply by attending a group, and that's another benefit of small groups. As a matter of fact, I ask our reach group leaders, keep your eyes open. Who do you see as the next leader in your group? Because they're some of the best resources for me to say, you know what, this one person, I think they're ready. And then I go after them. we train our leaders regularly. And I do this in both group and on one-on-one settings. Now, this is not just for our new leaders, this is for our seasoned leaders as well. You know, this training is a time to cast vision, to make sure we're staying on point with vision, right? To hone skills. It's an opportunity to seek input from one another and to pray and to get acquainted with the practical administrative aspects of being a reach group leader. It's a time for our reach group leaders to be able to look at each other. It becomes a small group in itself. Mm-hmm. To look at each other, to encourage each other, to hear what's going on in each other's reach group. What's working? What's a new idea that you tried? But you can't do that unless you take an opportunity to bring them together. And many times, almost every single time, we have some food, because food and fellowship go together, all right? And I also want them to just feel so loved and appreciated, amen? So I also take this opportunity to teach when we come together. At our last team training, I taught them about Calvinism and Arminianism to help them better understand theology, because they're going to tackle some interesting questions, and you never know what's going to come up in those group discussions, right? And it helps them to navigate curriculum selections. And while they need to come to me and just get approval, final approval on the curriculum, I want them to know this is what I'm looking for. So why don't you be looking for this? And sometimes they actually write their own curriculum. And so when they do that, they put an outline together and I take a look at that ahead of time. But as they're doing that, I want them to keep theology in mind, right? We all come from very different church backgrounds, and many theologies, they seem so similar. But if you look a little deeper, some of the differences are actually really important differences. So we have to educate, right? And then that also helps them navigate those group discussions, amen? Well, then what do you do about those people who are not ready to lead? There might be some newer believers who are not yet ready to lead a group. So how about asking them to host a small group? Hosts simply need to open their homes, put on a pot of coffee, and love people. And here's the thing, if they host, in the middle of their hosting, guess what's happening to them? They're being discipled. they're being mentored because they're watching how it's done, right? And this could help prepare them to be a leader sometime. So them hosting, well, that's ministry. That's ministry. I really appreciated what Pastor Dave had to say in our opening plenary session. And I want to speak to that. You know, we are all called to minister the gospel. Not a single one of us is left out.
Yes.
Right? When people partner in the ministry, they grow. That's why I consider volunteering is part of discipleship. We do. Pastor Jason and I both do. Teaming up in the ministry, it's an important part of discipleship. So listen, we shouldn't make it difficult for people to join the team.
Yes.
Churches that make it difficult, they don't grow. They remain stagnant, reusing the same leaders over and over, and then they grow old together, failing to invest in the leadership potential of the next generation, right? So we have to hand over the keys to others rather than hold on to them tightly. Amen? Titus 2, the older mentoring the younger, right? Okay. Once you have a healthy network, you want to sustain it. And God bless you. And if you want your small group discipleship to last, there are a few things that matter. So first of all, keep the vision in front of the people. Thank you, Joanne. Don't just say it once. Say it over and over and over again. Our lead pastor is very good with this, and that's because discipleship is very near and dear to his heart. So he takes every opportunity to mention the importance of discipleship to the body, right? Second, support your leaders well. And what does that support look like? It looks like encouragement, authentic appreciation, communication, availability, and connection. And that goes a long way, all right? Healthy leaders sustain healthy groups. Healthy groups grow healthy community. And healthy community builds healthy disciples. I'm going to say that again, all right? Mm-hmm. Healthy leaders sustain healthy groups. So you want healthy leaders. Healthy groups grow healthy community. And healthy community builds healthy discipleship. Disciples. Isn't that all what we want in our churches? Amen. Amen. Third, stay flexible. If something isn't working, adjust it. Don't be afraid to try new things. You know, I have permission to not hit the mark every single time, and I love that with my lead pastor. And I can go out there and just try new things, right? Like family life night, right? Don't get locked into a model. The goal isn't the model. The goal is discipleship, all right? And lastly, and most importantly, depend on the Holy Spirit, okay? Listen, I've been a disciple pastor at Reach Church for almost 8 years now. And I'm still learning. And the moment you think you figure things out is the moment you'll start leaning on your own understanding. And that's a big mistake. No one knows the people of your church like the Holy Spirit. And He knows what they need more than we do, right? And He has creative ideas. He has inspiration. He knows what they need. So let's partner well with Him. Amen? So I want to leave you with this. No one should walk into our churches and remain unknown. No one. No matter how big you are. Small groups are not just Bible studies. They are environments where relationships are formed, faith is strengthened, and disciples are made. Did I hit the wrong thing? No, we're good. I'm good. All right. They move people from attending to belonging, and from belonging to growing, and then from growing to leading. That's the steps right there, right? And that kind of church, it doesn't happen by accident. That happens when we intentionally build Christ-centered community. Okay, I got 1 minute? Okay, all right. So here are three questions to consider, all right? What is one step you can take to strengthen your small group network? What structure could you create that actually works for your people? Who is one person you can begin developing as a leader?
Can you repeat?
Yep, it's on your hand up. It's on your hand up. And healthy communities help, healthy disciples. Good. So listen, we are not, get out of that mindset. We're not just building groups, we're building disciples. Amen. 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 So listen, if you ever want to discuss discipleship making, I am available. My contact information is on the screen. You know, I've learned some things, but I'm still learning, and I hope I stay that way. And we need each other, so let's collaborate, all right? God bless you. Thank you for being here today. The Lord bless you. Can I do it?